Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, February 9th, 2010 here. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Phone lines are open, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. Othman is back in the control room, twiddling the dials and answering the phones and otherwise taking care of us. The chat rooms are both open. The webcam is running. All systems are go, and we're ready to rock and roll. Full tilt boogie for truth, justice, and what we used to call the American way. Now, yesterday, I was commenting on Representative Mike Pence and this ludicrous, treasonous comment he made that we should just allow Israel to dictate policy to the United States, that whatever Israel wants is going to be good and we should just go along with it. And I cracked a joke that, you know, Mike Pence might be getting ready to run for president because he's making the appropriate obeisances to mighty Israel. And I got some nasty emails from his supporters and fans saying that's the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard. And sure enough, today, we get a news story that Mike Pence is considering a run for the White House. It doesn't get any more obvious than that. Sarah Palin's getting ready to run, so she's out there pushing for war in Iran because that's what Israel wants. Remember when she was being considered for the vice presidency and we showed a photo of her office, her governor's office in Alaska, and there was a flag of Israel on display there? We have reached the point where nobody is allowed to rise to power in the United States unless they agree to daven to Tel Aviv on a regular basis. And this Mike Pence case absolutely proves it yet again. Anytime you have somebody coming up there and saying, oh, whatever Israel wants is what we want, they're running for office. That's what they're doing here. Now, interestingly enough, we're seeing a revival of interest in the 9/11 deception, and AE 9/11 Truth is holding a press conference on Friday, February 19th at 11 a.m. at the Marines Memorial Club and Hotel in San Francisco. They have a whole bunch of people showing up. I almost didn't need them to tell me that this press conference was coming up, because as I was going around the dial looking for information to put on the website, I drifted across the National Geographic Channel. They are running their 9/11 debunking show almost nonstop. I have three times during this morning, I turned onto the National Geographic Channel, and it was the same show. They're practically looping it. Oh, you truthers, you won't believe any evidence that we put out there to support the government's version. Yeah, because the government's version is it's a crock. It's as much a crock as human-caused global warming. It's as much a crock as the swine flu pandemic. Of course, we're not going to believe any evidence that you put out to support what we all know to be a lie. And I got to tell you, and it's not a surprise that National Geographic is doing this, because National Geographic and the U.S. government have a very cozy relationship going all the way back to at least World War II, when National Geographic got the contract to produce military maps for the U.S. government. And being such a highly respected magazine, or at least used to be, they become a target for Mockingbird-style operations from the Central Intelligence Agency. So it's a very cozy relationship. And like Popular Mechanics and all the rest of it, they're saying, oh, yes, the government is telling the truth. And all those people who don't trust the government, well, they're just weirdo, psychotic fringies, and we shouldn't be paying attention to them anyway. And, of course, then they follow up with another show about UFOs or something. And, frankly, I like National Geographic a lot better when all they had on there were the photos of the topless native girls in other countries that mom would yell at you if they caught you peeking at them. But certainly, you know, we're seeing a rebuilding of this debate on 9/11. And, frankly, there is so much propaganda being thrown out there by the corporate media and the government, I am actually smelling fear. I think, and this also applies to the flood of propaganda we're seeing about Iran, that they're pouring so much of it onto to Twitter that it's actually beginning to jam up and slow down right now. And you see the same post over and over again under all these different names. That, you know, they've got a machine that is just simply trying to shout down anybody who doubts the necessity for war with Iran. And frankly, if they thought they had succeeded in selling this to the American public, I don't think they'd be trying this hard. So I see this intense propaganda campaign that is being waged right now as a sign the government is aware they're not succeeding. They're not selling this. And they're trying harder and harder, and the sales tactics are getting harder and harder. I think they understand they're not being believed this time. And I imagine from the point of view of the government, they're just scratching their head and saying, golly, they used to believe it every other time that we lied to them about the torpedoes of the Gulf of Tonkin, about the mines that blew up the USS Maine, about the USS Iowa, about all this other stuff. And now all of a sudden they don't believe us. What the heck has happened? And they're just scratching their heads and they're, wondering what the heck has gone on. Well, fool me once, shame on you, and fool me twice, shame on me. And that's exactly where we are right now. So National Geographic is out there running their little show to prove that those of us who won't accept the official story of 9/11 must be some kind of deranged lunatics. The White House has basically come out today and said that anybody who's a critic of the Obama administration is aiding Al-Qaeda. Okay? So if we're unhappy with the economy, we're aiding the terrorists. If we don't like the fact that he has just gutted NASA, then we're aiding the terrorists. If we don't like the necktie he picked out of the closet to wear this morning, we are aiding Al-Qaeda. It has become that polarized. We're back to this, you're either with me or you're against me mentality that George Bush was famous for. Okay? And, the whole point of a First Amendment, the whole point of the Bill of Rights is that you can have peaceful disagreements with the way the country is being run. And Obama is developing this foxhole mentality, or Hitler in the bunker. Either you agree with me or we're going to put you up against the wall and shoot you. That seems to be where he's going right now. All right, now, turning to the economy real quick. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. Turning to the economy, Wall Street had a pretty good day today. It was really kind of a wild ride. I think anybody who bought in at the early upswing may have gotten burned as it dropped in the afternoon, but then it went up to the end again. And we're back to this question again. What does this number really represent? In a nation that's lost its manufacturing, that is a net importer of food, what are we producing and selling on which to base any kind of earnings forecasts? Or in point of fact, and I've said this before, the Dow is merely a gas gauge of money being sucked away from the American people and given to Wall Street. And we know the PPT is playing around with these numbers, but the bottom line is what we're seeing, okay, is over the last 2 years, all of the financial risk in this country has been transferred onto the American people, and all the profits are transferred onto the banks. Wall Street's doing wonderfully. In fact, my wife and I, we were watching TV the other night, and we saw this car commercial, and it started out saying, the economic recovery is underway, at least for the people on Wall Street. But for you, things are still dying. It was selling an economy car, and it was a really good sales pitch. But I think the striking thing was that even the TV advertisers are beginning to understand that the American people are seeing that the bankers and Wall Street and investment guys are they're doing great somehow, but we, the American people, we're still losing our jobs and our homes and our businesses, and we're getting upset about it. And of course we're going to be upset about it. And of course we're going to be critical of the government's handling of the economy. That doesn't make us terrorists. That doesn't make us Al-Qaeda. It means that we're rational human beings who understand the federal government is robbing the poor to give to the rich. And that's a valid criticism at this point. I mean, we're still hearing all this talk about the so-called jobless recovery. That is the most nonsensical thing I've heard since human-caused global warming. You cannot have an economic recovery without jobs. What you can have is a redistribution of the wealth, which is what we're seeing. That's what the bailouts were. Taking trillions of dollars from the American people to give it to the banks so the banks could loan it back to the American people at interest, except that we're not borrowing because, unlike the federal government, we have to think in terms of how we're going to pay this all back. And every time you hear about the economy, is it growing or not, what they're really talking about is tricking the American people into more debt. We don't want more loans. What we want are jobs with which to pay to get the money to pay off our loans. But the banks want exactly the opposite. The bankers want more debt on the American people. And if they can't convince you to go into debt yourself, then they'll get their friends in the government to plunge you deeper into debt on your behalf without your permission, which, again, is behind all these bailouts and all of this money that's being taken and all this reckless runaway spending, $1.6 trillion deficit for the next year. That's all debt being put on you by Barack Obama and the government for the benefit of the banks to keep you and your children and your great-grandchildren slaves to the bankers. And if that isn't enough, they're going to start a world war, and they don't even care who wins or loses, because wars create debts on both sides, and debt is what the bankers use to keep you slaves. So they don't care that this war they're getting ready to start might be lost by the American people, probably will be lost by the American people. They don't care, because both sides wind up in hock to the bankers. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy. The number of available job openings in the United States fell by one quarter last year, 25%. There are 25% fewer jobs available to Americans. And, of course, the unemployed population soared by more than one-third, which means there are a lot of people after every one of those single jobs. And, of course, you know, business owners like that because it drives labor prices back down again. We're turning into a company town on a national scale. And if you don't understand what I mean, you know, go back to the songs of the Ballad of John Henry. And 16 tons, and there was a time in this country where entire villages and towns were owned by a company, and you'd move there to go to work, and they'd promise you all kinds of high wages, but once you got there, the rents and the food and everything that you needed could only be purchased through the company's store, and they always set the prices just high enough to plunge you into debt and never let you out. Does that sound familiar? That's what's going on here. Those practices only ended when there was a threat of a communist revolution in this country. And that began the big fight, the demonization of the commies and back and forth. And eventually there was labor reform and the unions were able to come in there. And there was that whole Matawan situation and brought some wealth and some reasonable living conditions to the ordinary working people of America. Well, now the Soviet Union's gone. There are no more communists. And as a result, with that threat of a communist revolution gone, it is not surprising we're seeing the American economic system attempt to bring back the glory days of the company town, where the rich were incredibly rich and the poor were just barely able to get by. And we think of living conditions like that as third world in other nations. It was a big part of the history here in the United States of America. And we're starting to see that situation here again. Now, we're seeing that apparently there really is no exit in sight for the debt trap that we're all in. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are continuing to flail. They're trying to cover more and more of these failed mortgages. They're running out of money. And, you know, now, apparently even this new program that where defaulted borrowers are going to be allowed to hang on to their homes. Instead of an owner, you'll become a tenant. You'll be in the same building, but you'll no longer own it. The banks will own it. The banks are going to own everything. You are reduced to being a tenant. You're not a citizen of the United States anymore. You are a tenant. You are a serf. That's where we're heading on this whole thing. And I'll tell you what is wrong with Obama's economic reform. It's the same thing that was wrong with Bush's economic reform, where they talk about the jobless recovery, and I was telling you before, that is the biggest lie that they have shoveled at you since human-caused global warming. You cannot borrow your way out of a depression. You cannot tax your way out of a depression. You cannot legislate your way out of a depression. You have to produce your way out of a depression by growing or manufacturing something that someone else in another country wants to buy. That is the only way to make an economy prosper. Now, of course, Wall Street and Washington, D.C. are in love with this idea that if they take the money and they repackage it and put it in a pretty ribbon and shake it back and forth, it's going to grow magically all by itself. And they have rigged the laws of this land to allow that to happen. But as Wall Street and Washington, D.C. get richer and richer, we're seeing the vast majority of Americans are being driven down into total impoverishment. We are not prospering the nation. We are seeing it being looted before our eyes. Now, our government today consists mostly of lawyers and accountants. They don't know how to make anything. They don't know how to grow anything. They don't know how to do anything but write new laws and change the bookkeeping rules to you know, cook the books. That's all they know how to do. And they're borrowing themselves into a deeper hole, and nobody's paying attention to whether the American people are ever going to have the jobs again to allow them to pay the debts off. Everything that's coming out of government and industry is finding some way to take more money from the people, and nobody's paying attention to where we, the people, are supposed to come up with that. That's why the economic system has completely failed. We're being looted to placate the bankers and shower money all over Israel and, of course, pay for this new war that they're cooking up to try and hide the fact or distract from the fact that they've run this country off the rails, is really what it comes down to. We are not the manufacturing power that we used to be. We are not the breadbasket to the world. I've got a lot of emails from people who were very surprised to find out. The U.S., which used to sell surplus food all around the world, we're now a net importer of food. Between the diversion of farmlands to ethanol production, which didn't work out, between the destruction of farmlands from all the great floods that we had because the infrastructure was being neglected, and the advent of GM crops, genetically modified crops, which the rest of the world don't want to buy, and on top of which are producing lower yields than their natural counterparts, America does not produce enough food to feed itself. We're having to buy food from other countries now. We hardly export anything except bombs now. And I'll tell you, you want to talk about boneheadedness, and I've talked about this before, but Obama has basically ended U.S. manned space flight. He came down with his budget axe. He was looking for something that he could cut that he felt was going to be politically acceptable, and so he basically gutted NASA. Now, I don't agree with everything that NASA has done. I disagree with a lot of things NASA has done. But I think we need a space program, not because we want to put a flag up on that flying flagpole that's whizzing overhead, but because we need a technology incubator to create the new industries that'll create the new jobs, that'll create the new products with which we can save the economy. That space program was the last major technology incubator that we had. And Obama has canceled the Constellation program, which was the return to the moon, developing new launch vehicles and new ways to get into orbit, less expensive. There are four more flights on the space shuttle program. And from then on, we're hitching rides with the Russians to get up to our own space station. The new shuttle, if it keeps on track, won't be ready until 2020. And so basically, you know, two of the three main programs that we had going are being cut. The head of the Johnson Space Center in Texas is saying he's not even sure the facility can stay open with the new budgetary cuts. But we always seem to have enough money to give to Israel and to pay for bombs. And, of course, Obama's big pet project now is he's starting a brand new agency to study and report on human-caused global warming because he wants those carbon taxes. He's drooling for those carbon taxes. And he knows that NASA and NOAA and IPCC and Penn State and HAVI-CRU and all these other institutions have been completely discredited with the ClimateGate scandal. So what he's going to do is he's going to create a whole new agency and say, see, you can trust them. They're brand new. And they're going to just feed out the same lies that you have already been told. It's the same bovine excrement. They're just going to provide a new sphincter. They've got money for that, but they don't have money to recover the economy. Now, meanwhile, internationally, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain are in trouble. They are facing deficits and debts. They are looking at national defaults. Australia is close to defaulting on their debts. The U.S. has missed defaulting by mere days when the Congress raised the debt ceiling, which isn't really a solution. They're simply getting another credit card to kite the debts along here. Meanwhile, the G7 meeting has ended and absolutely nothing was accomplished except photo ops with igloos. We'll be back after these commercials.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network.
And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com today, we have a headline. Goldman Sachs wants you to pay by the mile to drive on U.S. roadways. This is an article that relates to the continuing trend of privatization, which is a very fancy word for the federal government taking those assets that were built with your taxpayer money and turning around and selling them to private corporations who then turn around and charge you to use that which you already paid to build and own and maintain. Now, I am one of those people who believes that if the taxpayers paid for the nation's highways, that the government doesn't have the right to sell them and turn them into private for-profit roads. And yet the government is definitely doing that because they have simply run out of money. They borrowed too much money for their luxurious lifestyle and their incredible wars and to keep promises they had no business making. And so now they want to talk about this pay by the mile to drive in the U.S. roadways. Now, step back here and just think about it for a minute. We already paid to build the roadways. And we've already paid for the car and the gasoline to drive along the roadways. And so what Goldman Sachs here is thinking, they're not inventing a new product that's of any benefit to Americans. They're not thinking about creating a new service or anything. What they're doing is they're figuring ways that they can make you pay more money for what you've already got. That seems to be the American model of business right now. We're not going to invent anything new. We're going to make you pay more for what you already have. And a good example, and I pointed this out before here, was the iPhone, which has a function called tethering, where you could plug this into your laptop and use it as a high-speed broadband modem, you know, anywhere that you want to go. And in every other country on Earth, the iPhone will do that. But here in the United States, of course, the function is disabled because they want you to go back to the store and buy a separate little plug-in broadband modem and a separate monthly service so that you're paying more and buying more equipment for the same service that other countries you get for the one price. That seems to be the model here. Now they're trying to basically say that they want to control the supplements industry, so that you cannot go to a place like GCN or Down to Earth or Vim and Vigor and buy valerian root or St. John's wort or any of the other herbal remedies for medical complaints. They want to shut that down to force you to go to doctors, spend more money, get a prescription and go to the pharmacy and buy the prescription drugs, which are basically just repackaging the same thing in the health stores. Okay, Valium is simply valerian root repackaged. Digitalin is foxglove, and it goes on and on and on. Most of what is being sold in these prescription bottles are medicines that are taken from nature, that if you are skilled and knowledgeable, you can go out and find them. But they want to shut that down. Remember when they blocked the ability of Americans to go to overseas pharmacies to buy the same medicines at lower cost? And the excuse given was, well, we can't guarantee that the purity and efficacy of those medicines you're getting from these foreign countries are really up to our high standards in the United States. Then, of course, we find out that the foreign pharmacies and the American pharmacies are all getting the pills from the same factories in China anyway. It was all about protectionism, forcing you to pay more for less. That's the business model. And this Goldman Sachs model is exactly the same thing. Instead of driving for free on the roads that you paid for, Goldman Sachs is setting it up so that you will be paying so many pennies per mile on the roads that you already paid for. You are being looted. And the roads aren't going to get any better. The roads are just totally deteriorating right now. This nation has been neglected in terms of its infrastructure. What you pay taxes for, you're not getting. The National Weather Service has just issued another flash flood and mudslide warning for the foothills area in Los Angeles. Why? Because all the earthwork embankments and all the infrastructure and the flood control has been neglected, and now it's falling apart. Same thing that happened in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina. The levees had not been properly maintained. They collapsed. Massive flooding and destruction. Who's to blame for this? The federal government. They have been looting this country to give the money for the war machine, to spend it on Israel, to give it to their cronies in Wall Street, and the rest of the nation is literally dissolving right in front of us. Now, to add insult to injury here, I mean, basically what we're seeing is we're seeing the collapse of our civilization right in front of our eyes, just like ancient Rome. And just like Rome, it's not being invaded from without. It's being destroyed from within by the rampant greed of the rulers. They're infected with the sickness of greed. They've got more money than any one person could reasonably spend in an entire lifetime, and it's never enough. They've got to have more. They've got to prove that they can get a bigger pile of cash to roll around on than the guy in the mansion next door. And they don't care who has to starve to do it or who has to die in a war to do it. It's an addiction, and we need an intervention. That's all a revolution is. It's an intervention for the addiction to money. That's really what it is. Now, to add insult to injury, we are now hearing that because the unemployment situation isn't actually improving, despite the government's protestations to the contrary, that states are having to raise employee taxes. Now, a lot of people still don't understand. When you go to work at, for example, the clothing store, and you're an employee there, you are paid so much money out of which the government will take taxes, quite a large chunk, as a matter of fact. Most people don't understand that your boss has to pay an additional tax for the privilege of hiring you. And when you take that the employee taxes and you add them together with what's taken out of your paycheck, you will find out government actually makes more money off of your work than you do. And now, because there's so much unemployment and they're afraid of rioting and all the rest of that stuff, they're going to raise the unemployment taxes. And they're saying the median increase is going to be almost 30%. And in places like here in Hawaii, where we've got a major unemployment problem, the employee taxes, they're going to explode. Orders of magnitude. They're talking about tenfold increases in the employee taxes. Well, that's not going to solve the unemployment insurance problem, because anybody running a business is going to start saying, I can't afford these employee taxes. I can't hire anybody and give anybody a job. I'm going to have to let people go to pay for the taxes. So we're going to see an increase in the unemployment rate. We're going to see a decrease in the availability of new jobs, because the people running the government can't think any further than that little table of numbers that say, oh, we can improve this number if we do this. And they're not thinking out into the society itself. They're absolutely blind and oblivious. There seems to be this common hallucination with the federal and the state governments that we, the American people, are this vast untapped pool of money just there for the taking. If they can just figure out a new trick, a new lie, a new dodge, a new con, that they can just reach out and grab more money coming on in. It isn't out here. Taxing employers more money is not going to improve the employment situation. It's going to destroy what's left of the American economy. And maybe Alex Jones is right and this is being done deliberately, or maybe it's just the result of aggregate stupidity and greed, but the end result is the same. We're seeing the country fall apart here. And our government appears desperate to start the next major war as a distraction. Yeah, things are tough, but you know there's a war on. And yeah, businesses are shutting down, but you know there's a war on. We got to fight them terrorists there. And yeah, you're all going hungry, but you know it's worth it because there's a war on. And this seems to be the reason why they're trying so hard to start another war and get us into a world war. Because it worked before. It worked the last two times. They got out of the crash in 1904 with World War I. They got out of the crash of 29 with World War II. Now we're in the crash of '07. And look how hard they're trying to start a new war. It's just amazing. All right, we're almost to the end of this segment here. A little bit of a news story. You remember how we were told the naked body scanners don't keep images, nothing is saved, you know, you don't have to worry about pictures of your naked body somehow getting out? Wrong. Already happened. A film star, Indian film star Shahrukh Khan, went through a naked body scanner, and before he even got out of the airport at Heathrow, there were printed paper copies of his naked body floating around. Now, he took it very coolly. He autographed some of them. But it basically says, yeah, when you go through that scanner, they can keep a record of it. Remember that TSA guy at Los Angeles International got arrested for child porn? Do you want him watching your naked kids go through that scanner? I don't think so. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phone lines. Clarence in Oklahoma. Osseo, Clarence, what's on your mind today?
Oh, well, a lot of things on my mind, but, you know, whether or not they amount to a lot, but we'll see here.
Well, pick one. Let's go with it.
Okay. I actually just woke up about 5 minutes ago. I love being retired. You know, you sit here and all of a sudden I'm snoozing, and then the next thing I know, I got the last part of your talk there.
Okay.
And what I got was this entire thing that's going on right here in this whole world, right in front of our eyes, is. I love the way you put it, because it reminded me of the old movie, The Last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
The last remake of that was the best.
Daniel Day-Lewis, yes. I like that one, too. Mostly I like the guns, because I'm into black powder shooting.
Yeah. But I loved it, because he bought, you know, a lot of
okay, Clarence, you kind of got to get to the point here. Yeah,
he bought a lot of stuff to it. Let me tell you what he bought. What he bought to it was this is it got to that point where at the very last part of the whole movie, where you know they were brought. In front of the, because there were...
Okay,
the,
Clarence, I'm going to let you go here while you wake up and kind of pull your thoughts together, because you're not making a lot of sense, and I'm sorry, but I really do need to get on to stopping World War III right now. So, Clarence, thanks an awful lot. Have some coffee and try calling back in the next hour, but I got to let you go here. All right, and I apologize for that, but, you know, he just woke up, and he couldn't seem to like to find what he wanted to talk about. Now, I want to talk about Iran, and I want to start off, first of all, by saying, if you have a Twitter account, change your password and put a password on there that's really long and really complex and very difficult. It should look like line noise is what it should look like. We are hearing from some of our readers that Twitter accounts are being hacked into, and they're being used to flood Twitter with pro-war propaganda. And if you have TweetDeck and you're watching, you will see the same exact messages showing up over and over and over and over again under all these different names. And a lot of them are accounts that are created just for the purpose of propaganda. But we just heard from one of our people in the chat room that her account was hacked into. And she had to go through this whole rigmarole to get back control of it. But while her account was taken, it was being used to put out all this propaganda. And what it is, this is a scam. Because advertisers know that people are so numb to TV commercials and paid advertising, they tend to tune it out. But if they can get somebody that looks like an ordinary, everyday person to convey their message, people will tend to listen to it a lot more. In real life, it's called grassroots lobbying. And on the internet, it's called hijacking somebody's account. There are even companies that will pay you a fee to allow them to use your Twitter account to put ad messages out onto Twitter, because they understand that if people see it coming from your name, they'll listen to it far more than if it said ABC Presents or whatever. So that's kind of going on. So you've got to, if you've got a Twitter account, change your password, make it really strong, because they're hijacking Twitter accounts to get the pro-war propaganda out there. Now, with regard to the propaganda, there was a poll taken in Iran recently, and the percentage of Iranians who have confidence in Ahmadinejad is 64%. Okay? Now, the percentage of Americans who strongly approve of the job Barack Obama is doing as president is only 26%, according to Rasmussen. Okay? The percentage of Americans who voted for Barack Obama in the last election was 53%. The percentage of Iranians who voted for Ahmadinejad in their last election last year was 63%. And yet the corporate media is trying to portray Ahmadinejad as an illegitimate tyrant who stole the election from the valiant, plucky green revolutionaries who happened to be funded by the Bush administration to the tune of $100 million. And by the Barack Obama administration, another $20 million, you know, during the attempted coup last summer. So that's the reality. Ahmadinejad has support of more Iranians, a greater percentage of the Iranians, than Obama has the support of the American people. And yet, we have this flood of propaganda on Twitter attempting to tell everybody that Ahmadinejad is a fraud, that the Iranian people are rising up to grab their, you know, their nation back and to bring democracy to Iran. Well, they had democracy. They had elections. Ahmadinejad won. And common sense has to tell you that if you overthrow the government of Iran, the elected government of Iran, and you install a new regime, that regime will never, ever, ever allow fair and free elections, because they'd get voted out next election. And so what the so-called protesters and democracy movement in Iran are really trying to do, they're staging a coup to bring about a new puppet regime. It's a replay of 1953. And the reason for this propaganda is when the U.S. and Israel attack Iran, you are going to be told that we are doing the Iranian people a favor. They said the same thing during the attack on Iraq, how when our troops rolled into Iraq, they would be greeted with flowers and kisses and hugs, and everybody was going to welcome the American invaders with open arms. I understand that Adolf Hitler told his soldiers the same thing just before they rolled into Paris. It's another part of the lie. They're trying to convince you that we're doing something wonderful and beneficial for the Iranian people. Every military intervention the U.S. has engaged in since the end of World War II, we, the American people, are told we're bringing democracy to those people. And out of those 33-plus military interventions, we have not actually created a single case of democracy. We put in these puppet rulers, Pinochet, Ferdinand Marcos, Batista in Cuba, the Shah of Iran, and now the Shah's son is out there. He's already saying, I'm available. When the present government of Iran is down, I'll go in there and I'll form a new government there, and he will be another U.S. puppet, and he will bring back the Savak. We're not doing the Iranian people a favor invading their country. We're not doing anybody a favor invading their country. Yet this is what the propaganda is all about. Now, as I said before, anybody who's getting ready to run for president or even for Congress in this country, the first thing they got to do is they've got to demonstrate they're willing to be Israel's little whore. And Sarah Palin is doing that. She's out there recommending launching a war with Iran. And we have the video of her at the front page of What Really Happened. We're saying, yes, we've got to go in there. We've got to go in and just smash them, because they're not doing what we tell them to do. They're not doing what Israel tells them to do. And the really funny thing about this is she cites as a justification for her call for war an article by Pat Buchanan in which she says he is also calling for war. And that is not right. She's completely got him 180 degrees away from what he really was saying. And once again proves that a pretty face is just a pretty face, and there may not be much of a brain behind there. And this is the best the GOP can field for 2012? I don't think so. Now, Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor and now Republican presidential candidate, is also out there saying, yes, we've got to bomb Iran. We've got to go over there, and we've got to do it. Josh Bolton, is out there saying, you know, if we don't go kill them, they're going to get nuclear weapons. Now, Bolton was one of the ones who insisted that Iraq had nuclear weapons. It's the same thing over and over again. Now, the Obama administration, I mentioned this earlier in the show, they've come out with this ludicrous idea that anybody who questions the war policies of the United States is aiding Al-Qaeda. Basically saying critics are aiding Al-Qaeda. If you criticize anything, you're aiding Al-Qaeda. It's that us or them mentality. We rejected it when Bush was doing it. We have to reject it now that Obama's doing it. We, the American people, have a right to criticize the government. Because contrary to the self-delusions of Congress and the White House, this is still our country. And we do have to have a say in how it's run. If we don't take control of this country, if we don't head off this new world war, future generations will look at Americans with the same disgust and revulsion our generation looked at the Germans who backed Hitler. We'll be back after the news and commercials in about 7 minutes. Stay tuned and aloha.
The Michael Rivero, What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, hour number two. And I want to talk briefly about a book from some years back. Now, I'm a big fan of Tom Clancy. And even though he tends to portray the CIA as these icky, sweet, do-gooder Boy Scouts, which we know they really aren't. But he's a good writer, and he creates these very plausible scenarios. He created the genre of techno-thriller with The Hunt for Red October. And then he basically took a marathon gaming session with a board game called Harpoon, which is a wargaming simulation game before pre-computer. And he basically created this book called Red Storm Rising. And in the book, Red Storm Rising, World War III begins when a fictionalized USSR, economically unable to purchase the oil products it needs, simply decides to take them. Now, in order to conceal what is a war of conquest, the fictionalized USSR manufactures a provocation, a false flag. They stage a fake terror attack on a symbolically important building in Moscow. Faked evidence is used to pin the blame on a target nation, and the fictionalized USSR starts a war on two fronts. The Just Cause War, which gives a political cover, while the second front moves to grab the oil fields. It's a very believable scenario, and the book was a bestseller, and it's one of my favorites, even though I know it to be a work of fiction. Now, the point is, we're living through that same scenario. Okay? Now, but the roles are reversed. The United States is the one that is attempting to conquer the Mideast oil fields behind the political cover of a fraudulent terror attack. Now, in the book Red Storm Rising, there was a plot device of a massive refinery disaster to kick off Russia's oil crisis. In our case, we didn't have that. We just had chronic mismanagement. The U.S. government has been in serious financial troubles. They're in debt for 30 or more trillion dollars, nobody really knows for sure. The interest alone on the federal government debt now exceeds all of the income tax paid by every single citizen, which means that we're not paying down the principal, we're not even covering the interest, and even if they did no more borrowing at all, the debt continues to grow. So, we're so deeply in debt, we've run out of gold to collateralize the loans, we're using our wilderness lands. It's a mess. And so basically what we're seeing here is a replay of that same scenario from Tom Clancy's book. The U.S. has this convenient terror attack in New York in order to kick off a war that was already being planned months before to go into Afghanistan. Then we lie to go into Iraq. Now we're lying to go into Iran. It's the same scenario. It's almost frightening in the degree of similarity. And I bring this up because there's a saying that art often imitates life. And right now, real life is lining up very closely with Tom Clancy's plot line. And the reason I'm worried is because in Tom Clancy's book, the country that initiated the war, in the book USSR, in real life the USA, loses the war, ultimately. Because the rest of the world knows they've got the moral right on their side, and the USSR in the book and the USA here in real life knows that they do not. Go back all the way to your Sun Tzu and the Art of War. The army that knows it has the moral right on its side is the army that eventually prevails. That was the reason, along with some weapons from the U.S., but that was the real reason the Afghanis kicked the Soviet Union out of Afghanistan, despite overwhelming superior military. The USSR soldiers were there. They're just invading another country. They're just there to do a job, collect their pay, and go home. The Afghanis were fighting for what they knew really did belong to them. And this is why we're mired down in Iraq, why we are also now stuck in Afghanistan. And if we go into Iran, we risk a world war. It is that serious. You listening to this show, you are the front lines. What is that line from the last Terminator movie? If you hear my voice, you are the resistance. You are the front lines, because right now, the government, public relations firm, corporate media, advertising, they're trying to sell you this war as hard as they can. And the only way that we can counter that is for you to stand up and shout back, I don't believe you, with all this stuff about Iran. You have to stand up and say, I don't believe you. I doubt you. You've lied to us too many times. We don't believe you anymore. When you see postings in newspapers, go right to the comment section and say, no, this is not accurate when you talk about this. We've got to make a lot of noise. We have to match them voice for voice. If we can make them doubt that they can pull another fast one on us, if we can make them doubt, we can get them to call it off. Because I think World War III would be a really, really bad idea. All right, now getting back to the propaganda about Iran here, the corporate media is going totally ballistic over the fact that Iran has started enriching some of the uranium that they have to 20% enrichment. And they're screaming, this proves that Iran can't be trusted, blah, 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 blah. It's nonsense. Weapons-grade uranium is 95 to 98% enriched or higher. And by the way, Iran has invited the IAEA to come in and validate they're only enriching to 20%. Well, why are they enriching to 20%? Because they need medical isotopes, and they need uranium enriched to 20% in order to use it to create other isotopes that are used for medical purposes. Americium, technetium, all of these various other isotopes, which Iran needs not only for their own hospitals, but they market around the world. This is a legitimate use of nuclear technology. It is covered by the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. This is not a weapon. This is medicine, medical use. So they're in there, and they're doing there, and they've announced it fully. There's no secrecy involved here. They've announced what they're doing. They've asked the IAEA to come in and supervise so that everybody knows exactly what they're doing. When was the last time the IAEA got invited by Israel to visit the facility at Dimona? Okay. Now, Iran has already said that if the West wants to provide the materials for the medical isotopes, that they'll stop the enrichment. But, of course, the goal of the West isn't to provide medical technology to Iran. It's to justify a new war to go in and grab the oil fields, without which our country's economy is totally screwed. See, the goal here is very, very simple. The United States doesn't manufacture. They don't grow anything. We're a net importer of food. And what the U.S. is thinking they can do, if they can grab all of the Mideast's oil, it will accomplish two goals. It'll turn oil from an imported product to an exported product and reverse the cash flow across the U.S. financial borders. Second, they can use the control of the oil to blackmail all the other nations on Earth to relaxing or basically wiping out the U.S. debt to all these other countries. Third, if the U.S. is in control of all the world's easily reachable oil, and remember, we've got plenty of oil reserves within our own territorial waters and continent, but if we grab the Mideast oil as well and we've got military control of that, then the U.S. isn't in a position to control conventional warfare. Because oil is still the lifeblood of war. Even the U.S. is moving away from nuclear power on their warships. They're going back to diesel fuel. because we're losing that part of our technology as well. We're going to go to the phones. Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have been printing up little flyers and handing them out at every gathering I go to, and just when I go shopping, I hand them out. And it's basically your show. And
thank
I've
you.
Also, well, you know, you're great, and everybody needs to know. The second thing, I've sent emails to Coast to Coast in hopes that they'll have you on, so you can hit a huge audience, and. The giant chalk I've been thinking about at night, maybe going out to some of the highways where you have this gigantic concrete wall and writing, stop World War III, Israel has 200 nuclear bombs, Iran doesn't have any nuclear bombs at all, something, just get the message out. And the way they keep interrupting your show, I mean, it'll be playing on the computer and it'll stop. Maybe we could take over the TV shows or something.
Maybe. Andrea, can you hang on? We got to take a break for commercials. And so just stay there. I want to continue this into the next segment. All right, we're going to take a break for some commercials. We'll be back with Andrea after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still on the phone with Andrea in Oklahoma. And Andrea, I appreciate what you're doing to get the word out about stopping World War III. And great that you focus on my show and my website. Doesn't have to be on my show or my website, but just get the word out there about, you know, we're down to the wire here at preventing World War III. The only thing I would add is what you're talking about with the chalk going up on the freeway. It's called freeway blogging. A lot of areas have passed laws against that, so you want to be very careful about that. And, of course, never do anything where you're risking your life and limb. But if it is legal to put signs up where traffic can see it, where you are, keep them very, very short, because people driving by, they can't read very much, and you get to a point where it's going to be unsafe. So stop World War III, I think, is a really good message, because I think people, they're not really understanding that the end result of all of these invasions, where the U.S. has gone into Afghanistan and Iraq and Somalia and Pakistan and Yemen, and now they're going into Iran, at some point we're going to cross that line where it is a world war. And that's just going to be a really bad day for everybody. So, Andrea, anything else you'd like to share with us?
Yes. If anybody else has great ideas or shows that you want Michael Rivera on, and, Michael, you say it, and you say it because you're confident, you know exactly what you're saying, you have the passion, and you have all this knowledge to see you on different programs. And it's up to us. Everybody can hear this. The show to email these shows and try and get Michael on these shows so the word gets out, not just on Michael's show on the computer. That's all we have in Oklahoma right now.
Okay.
They shut down the radio station. But to get you on other shows, and Coast to Coast really covers the world. I know your show does too, but we need you everywhere.
Well, I appreciate that. I was unaware that we'd lost our affiliate in Oklahoma. I know there's a lot of Part 15 stations carry us. But, you know, the computer network does get everywhere, and we have a huge audience both at the GCN feed and Shoutcast and also over at the Ustream, which carries the show with a video feed. So not that I'm anything great to look at, but it's a little more visually interesting. But, yeah, I do appreciate it, and I'm always available to be on other people's shows and talks about this. And again, the agenda right now is our government is pushing us on a path that's going to take us to World War III unless we, the American people, stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to go with you. Andrea, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Jesse in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Jesse. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I wanted to bring up the inflation and how it really distorts American economy.
Yes.
Before I do that, I wanted to read a quote from Ernest Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
That quote is, "The first panacea of a of a mismanaged nation is inflation of the currency. The second is war. Both bring a temporary prosperity, a permanent ruin, end quote. Now, I just wanted to say that, you know, our country gets forced into debt. We've all seen the debt is money video.
And yes.
We have people that...
I think that's money as debt.
Oh, you're right. My mistake.
Yeah.
But we all pay our taxes in the beginning, those who earn a wage. And then at the end of the year, we get a refund. So the government takes our money, they cause inflation, and then they pay us back at the end of the year. And then we also have real estate where people get a tax deduction for all of their mortgage interest. So everyone's just encouraged to go into debt.
Yes.
We have a paper fiat currency. There's just more and more inflation. And then the government doesn't even report it. They have things like, you know, CPI, where they distort the figures there, and they distort the true rate of unemployment. They distort GDP growth. And it's really, you know, you've said it before, Americans are the most lied to people on the planet. And I just wanted to, you know, hear if you have any comments on that.
Well, you know, definitely we're being lied to. I mean, any government is trying to make sure that the population does not get upset enough to stage a revolt. We know the numbers are inaccurate. It's been pointed out by a lot of experts. John Crudell over at the New York Post is just absolutely wizard at finding these things out. And the bottom line is that we are in a period of inflation. The doom of this country actually goes all the way back to 1913, when the Federal Reserve was passed into law by a Congress that didn't even have a quorum at the time. May not have even been legal. But the problem with a reserve system of banking, besides the fact that it's just legalized counterfeiting, is that the instant that first Federal Reserve note goes into circulation, more money is owed to the central bank than is actually in existence. And so the endless series of recessions and depressions and crashes, that is a built-in feature of the banking system. And from the bank's point of view, they want everybody hopelessly in debt so they can never get out, because that makes us all serfs and slaves to the bankers. That's their ideal view of society. The bankers on top and everybody else hopelessly hooked on debt beneath them. And if they cannot convince ordinary citizens to go into debt, they will bribe the government to put us into debt on our behalf, which is what this whole bailout and tarpon situation was all about.
Great point. Also, don't forget that if the currency does get destroyed, then anyone that would have a hard asset would actually have, you know, some value still, whereas everybody else would just be running around with paper money. We've all seen the pictures of Weimar Germany and Zimbabwe, and a lot of people make that comparison to where we could go if, you know.
Well, now the bankers are trying to buy all the hard assets up. I mean, it's this an ending cycle. We buy a house at a really big price, at a huge mortgage and interest, and we work, you know, to stay in it, and then the economy crashes, and then the banks come back and foreclose, and they pay pennies on the dollar for the house. Then the economy improves, and they sell that same house to our children at a very high price and a very high mortgage. Then the economy crashes again, and the bank gets it back for pennies on the dollar. Then they turn around and sell that same house to our grandchildren at a high price and high interest, over and over and over again. You've seen all these commercials on TV for companies that are going to buy your gold and give you paper money for it, and they're paying pennies on the dollar for the real worth of the gold. There was a documentary made in Great Britain where they took a volume of gold jewelry, and they had it properly assayed by a jeweler, saying that there's this much worth of gold in the jewelry, and they took it around to all these places that said, we'll give you cash for gold, and they were paying, you know, literally pennies on the dollar. Just a tiny fraction of what it was really worth. It's a scam. And the same thing was happening in Germany just before Adolf Hitler came to power, where the paper money was completely worthless, and you had the sharpsters and the con artists, and they were buying up all the gold they could for pennies on the Deutschmark. And it's the same pattern repeating all over again. Sell you something at a really huge price, crash the economy, buy it back cheaply. Let the economy recover, sell the same asset again at a huge price, crash the economy, buy it back for pennies on the dollar. It's just this cycle of recession, inflation, recession, inflation, recession. It is a gigantic heartbeat that pumps real wealth from the people to the bankers, and it is by design. Okay, thanks an awful lot, Jesse. We're going to let you go here. We've got to take a break for some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Welcome back to the show. We're just wrapping up with the situation with Iran and the pro-war propaganda, and they're just out there. They're selling you that war. They're selling you that war. They got to sell you that war because they can't think of anything else to do. They've wrecked the economy. They've wrecked the nation. And the only way the U.S. government can think of saving itself from the just wrath of the American people is to kick off a major war and hope that you will line up behind the flag and salute like the good little drones they remember you used to be back in the 1950s. Now, yesterday, the Associated Press ran an article, and the headline was, Iran moves closer to nuke warhead capacity. And it claimed that Iran had informed the IAEA that it will increase its ability to make nuclear warheads. This is a completely bogus allegation. Iran said no such thing. What Iran said is, we're enriching uranium to 20% for medical isotope applications, and you are welcome to come over and watch us do it. Now, because of the outrage that was expressed across the net, at my website, at antiwar.com, various other websites, people calling up and screaming that's completely bogus, the Associated Press has retracted the article. No apology, of course, but they've pulled the article off and they've replaced it with one that says, Iran to stop enrichment if given nuclear fuel. So AP now knows we're watching them. And we're keeping an eye on them. And we need to do that. Every time we see the media put out something that we know is completely false, we have to scream and yell. The other side is organized. They have this system called Megaphone. It's a piece of software they put on their computer screens, and whenever any one of these people finds something that's critical of Israel or casts doubts on the wisdom of war with Iran, they immediately notify all the other little megaphonies, and they will leap into Twitter, or they'll leap onto What Really Happened, or they'll leap onto the blogs, and they will just flood with just this constant thing, you must be an anti-Semite if you're opposed to war. Which I know sounds extreme, but believe it or not, Charles Lindbergh, the guy who first flew solo across the Atlantic Ocean, he was opposed to the entry into World War II, and he was accused of being an anti-Semite for wanting to keep us out of World War II. That's how extreme it gets there. Now, the bottom line is, and I get a lot of emails, very nasty emails from people saying, oh, you must love to have carnal knowledge with Iranians. That's not what they said, but that's what I can say here on the radio. You know, and you're a mullah lover and all the rest of this other stuff. I really don't give a darn about Iran one way or the other. I just don't want the United States to be the new Nazi power. And more and direct to the point, the primary reason I am opposed to World War III is that a lot of Americans are going to die in it, and we're going to lose. Now, as I pointed out before, the banks don't care if we win or lose. The banks love wars. They love wars. Love, 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 love wars. Let's have another war because it puts both sides, winners and losers, get driven into debt. The losers more so. And banks love to keep the planet on, you know, in debt. If all of the people of the world paid off all their loans and all their credit cards completely, the banks would go out of business. The banks would go completely out of business. Banks cannot exist without massive debt by the people. And the more debt they can put onto you, the richer and more powerful they become. That was why when the United States of America was created, it was created without a central private bank. Little banks were all over the place taking care of the community. That was fine. But the private central banks were to be avoided. We've had three of them now. And all three of them have brought this nation to the edge of ruin while making their private banker owners rich beyond dreams of avarice. So, all righty. But the bottom line is that our nation cannot afford a new global war. We don't have the manufacturing capacity. We don't have the money. We will lose this one. This nation will be ruined by a new global war. And that is the really sick thing, that our government is willing to completely trash the nation rather than admit they messed up. They mismanaged the economy. They were stupid to allow our manufacturing to leave. They were stupid to give corporations tax credits that made it advantageous to send high-paying American jobs to other countries. All of those were very short-sighted political favors. And now we're seeing the end result. And the U.S. federal government, like a religion, can never admit error, can never admit fallibility. And that's why there's this huge push to war. They are convinced that if they can start a new global war, that America will pull together behind the government the way we did in World War II, and we'll salute the flag, and we'll send our children off to die in these wars. And we're not going to do it, because we know this is not a clean war. It's not a righteous war. It is not a just war. It is not a war that we can win. This is folly. This is utter folly to be engaging in this course of action. All right, moving along on to other subjects. A lot of people are commenting about how the Tea Party seems to have been hijacked, and all of a sudden Sarah Palin is their anointed spokesperson. And amazingly enough, a lot of the candidates who are winning the support of the Tea Party movement, they're now taking aim at Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul was kind of sort of the father of the Tea Party movement, because he did his first little cash gathering when he was running for president on the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, and kind of took the moniker the Tea Party movement. And so he was sort of a central figure to that. Now, all of a sudden, the Tea Party movement, which has completely mutated into something different, it was originally a nonpartisan movement that was against high government taxation and wasteful spending on wars. Now, all of a sudden, it's partisan. It's moved over to the GOP, and it's taking aim. Three primary challengers are lining up against Ron Paul, and they're all linked to the Tea Party movement. And I think what's going on here is they're using the Tea Party movement and they're using these challengers to get rid of Ron Paul as early as they can, because he came very close last time to getting into the White House. And I think the political machine knows that Ron Paul is going to have a lot more backing now that we've seen the complete betrayal of Barack Obama. And we know that we don't want to go back to Sarah Palin in 2012 or even John McCain. Ron Paul, in a nation with fair, honest elections, Ron Paul would have a real chance. Actually, in a nation with fair and honest elections, Ron Paul would be in the White House right now, and we wouldn't be dealing with this threat of World War III. But I think the reason the Tea Party movement has been hijacked, and they're backing three primary candidates against him, they're trying to get him out of the race as quickly as possible to clear the decks for Caribou Barbie to be the candidate in 2012. And, of course, the only reason to make Caribou Barbie the candidate in 2012 is to guarantee that Barack Obama will have an additional 4 years. There's no other reason to run her. I know there are much better candidates in the GOP than Sarah Palin. The dits. The dits in 2012. It's amazing. We're seeing the machine work again. They're terrified of Ron Paul. They're terrified of any outsider. They're terrified of Ron Paul. They're going to get rid of him as quickly as they possibly can. Nobody in the Republican Party seriously prefers Sarah Palin over Ron Paul. This is machine politics at its absolute worst. Now, another story that we ran, and I put this up here because I have encountered a lot of these propagandists out on Twitter who are insisting that this is a genuine, you know, popular revolt in Iran, that the CIA is not involved this time. Yes, the CIA was behind it in 1953, and yes, the CIA was caught last summer, but this is a genuine revolution. And I was talking to this, or tweeting with this one lady who said, oh, no, that, you know, none of the people I'm associating with are CIA. And of course, my reply to that is, how would you know? They don't hand out business cards if they're undercover agents provocateurs. They don't hand out business cards. They don't admit that's what they're doing. Well, we had this little story from Counterpunch that the U.S. intelligence community is establishing academic outposts at U.S. universities. In other words, they're bringing back the networks of college informants that they had at the height of COINTELPRO. If you are a college student, yes, 10 to 20 of the people around you are working for FBI or CIA. They're undercover informants. Usually they're the ones who can get the dynamite and are trying to talk you into blowing up a building. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today here. Just catching up on a few last headlines. As you're probably aware, Representative John Murtha died yesterday at age 77. He had a really good life and a really wonderful career in the Congress. There's already a fight gearing up over who's going to get his seat. Will it change the partisan balance in the House of Representatives, so forth and so on. But what was really interesting is apparently he had surgery January 28th at the Bethesda Maryland Naval Hospital. Okay? And apparently during this surgery, it was a laparoscopic surgery on his gallbladder, they sliced open his intestine and didn't realize it. So they sewed him all up and sent him home, and he starts, of course, developing a huge fever because his intestines are dumping material into his abdominal cavity, and it's triggering a massive infection to which he succumbed yesterday. This is government health care. And it's on the same level as when we found out that the Veterans Administration's hospitals had inadvertently exposed something like 1,500 veterans to AIDS and HIV because they weren't cleaning off the equipment in between proctoscopic examinations. Now, I think government-run healthcare can work. It certainly does in Norway and France and up in Canada. So I'm not opposed to government-managed healthcare. What I'm opposed to is this government running healthcare. And remember, the opposition I have here is that when we voted Obama into office, and he was talking about health care reform, what we wanted was a government health care system like they have in Canada and France or Norway, where they take the money they're taxing from us, and they spend it to take care of us. Which, to me, that's what a government's supposed to do. But in the United States, we've got a system where they take money from us, and they spend it on wars and machinery and Israel and the rest of it, and then we have to pay extra for our medical care, and we have to pay extra for our higher education. That's not what we wanted. And yet, that's what Obamacare is. Obamacare is going to make sure that every American has health insurance by ordering us to go out and buy health insurance. I mean, if we could afford it, we would buy it, is the bottom line. Then we're still stuck with a system where we're being taxed into poverty to pay for wars and all this other crud that we didn't want, and we are still being told that we must spend more of our own money for our health care and our education. And that's why our government is broken. Our government is a failure. In terms of the needs of we, the American people, and taking care of us, our government is a complete, total failure. They have sold us out totally to a foreign power and to the military-industrial complex. It's a completely corrupted, collapsing, destroyed failure of a government. It absolutely is. It does nothing beneficial for the American people. And now they're gutting the space program, which was the last major technology incubator from which we could have even the ghost of a chance of developing new industries and new products to bring back the jobs to the United States of America. The only way to save our economy. We cannot catch up to all those nations to which we allowed to take the lead away from us in the production of things like computers and television sets. We could spend a century playing catch-up and never succeed because those governments are not going to be as stupid as the American government was. They're not going to let us take back the leadership. The only way we will get our economy and our technological leadership back is to leapfrog. We need to come up with the next big technological breakthrough. Photonics, for example, or cold fusion, or who knows what. Well, actually, I think the Chinese have beat us to the cold fusion punch. But we need to come up with the next big revolutionary technology on which to build a whole new economic boom. Our government stupidly gave away our leadership in television and computers and chips and all the rest of it to all these other countries because it made the stockholders happy. And now we have a wreck of a nation on our hands. The only way we can turn it around is to make that next technological leap forward. Find a very inexpensive way into orbit, for example. You know, the next power generation system, freedom from oil, that'll never happen with our government. Other than that, I mean, I think the writing is on the wall. This government is on the verge of collapse. The economy is on the verge of collapse. They're hoping if they can start a war that they can sort of mask the problem and say, oh, yes, our country is, but it's those gosh darn terrorists are doing it. Because that's how government operates. Everything good that happens, they're going to take credit for. Everything bad that happens, it's the fault of the terrorists or the Nemtons or the Martians or whatever they're going to blame. But that's the way they play the game. Or global warming. All righty. Up in Canada, Colonel Russell Williams, military commander, has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder of two women. The 46-year-old colonel has been charged in the death of 37-year-old corporal found dead in November, as well as two counts of sexual assault. Yeah, join the military there. Have a really good time. This is something you should simply share with all of your young children who are considering a career in the military, simply because they can't find a job anywhere else, is if you go in the military, yeah, you're going to have a job. Your own commanders could wind up raping and killing you. All righty, let's see. Another sexual abuse scandal at a Berlin Catholic school. I got a lot of nasty emails from all the Bible bangers the other day when I was talking about the ones up in Ireland. But again, I maintain, you cannot reconcile this epidemic of child molestation that is taking place in all of these religious institutions with the idea that there's any kind of a God up there, because I am certain that the parents of all of these children, before they sent them off to these religious schools, prayed to whatever God they worship that their children would be kept safe from harm and trauma. And there's nobody there answering the phone call. That's just the bottom line there. One more interesting little story here, and this one is kind of a little bit scary. Apparently research is showing that patients in a vegetative state where their EEGs are not flatlined, but they're considered vegetative because they're non-communicative, apparently they're still conscious inside there. Groundbreaking research has found patients left in a vegetative state for devastating brain damage are able to think and respond to question. What a frightening thing for anybody who's had to pull the plug on a loved one. And I remember there was this wonderful movie called Awakenings with Robin Williams and Robert De Niro. And they both did a fabulous job in this movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And early on, where the Robin Williams character is talking to an older physician, Max von Sydow, about these catatonic patients, and Robin Williams is saying, what if they're still inside there? And the older doctor, Max von Sydow, says, they're not. And Robin Williams says, how do you know? And Max von Sydow says, because the alternative is too terrible to consider. And he's absolutely right. What if all of these people that we have declared to be in a vegetative state, but we see there's brain activity, and now we're beginning to find out that there is some degree of consciousness and awareness and thought process going on in there. You know, that's a very, very scary situation when you're at that borderline area of how do we get them to come back. Let's see. Epidemiologist Tom Jefferson is on Swedish television basically saying that the World Health Organization has deliberately taken part in a fraud to redefine phase six pandemics in order to stimulate the sales of vaccines. And he's absolutely right about this. And this brings us to this situation where all of a sudden we're seeing all of these articles that were linking vaccines to autism being pulled from journals, being suppressed. Their authors are being threatened with massive lawsuits, and we understand why. The vaccine makers have taken a major hit on their credibility because of the swine flu. And now they're desperate because if any more evidence comes out that vaccines are linked to the autism epidemic that we have in the United States. And remember, those Amish children who do not get vaccinated never get autism. If that comes out as established science, contrary to the declaration by fiat of the U.S. government, I might add, then the vaccine business is just going to go right in the Al-Qaeda. But if you think about it, yes, there are vaccines that work and are useful. But right now, it's become a major business. They're going to make money by selling medicines to people who are perfectly healthy. For things that we may never get exposed to, swine flu being one of them. All right, that's it for our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network with more news, more of your phone calls, more of your anger. And believe me, it is so important when you see a newspaper or a blog putting out information that you know to be false, trying to sell us the war, you got to get in there, you got to mix it up with them, you got to hit them with the facts. Because if we mess up this time, we're going to have a world war on our hands, and that is a really bad thing. So until tomorrow, stay tuned. Be angry, be skeptical, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.